Welcome, everyone, to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove, and with me, as always, is the super jolly, super producer, Jason.
Greetings, everyone, and a ho, ho, ho.
Look, man. Hey, 2 years into it, and I didn't even have to prompt you to say the ho, ho, ho. Just the, I like it. We might be ready to take this act on the road, you know? No,
we better not go that far with it.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say I was jolly because, I mean, I'm a fat man, but I'm not very jolly right now. This is a so everybody that does not have their Christmas presents ordered, just stop right now because I don't want to deliver any more packages, and neither does anybody else. So that's my Christmas PSA for the season. Just go to the store, and it'll be a much better shopping and more memorable, meaningful Christmas experience for you to just handpick something, even if you have to beat somebody else up for the last one.
Lazy. All right? That's all I got to say. It's lazy.
So before we introduce our guest, I just want to remind everybody, if you've got some stories, some experiences, and you want to share them with us, because I've got a ton this week in the in my messenger on Facebook through the podcast, some really good guests in the upcoming weeks for some great eyewitness sightings. So I'm excited about
That's
that.
Good.
So
I'm glad to hear about that myself.
It is. There's some good stuff. I'm not even going to tell you, Jason.
All right, we'll discuss it off the air.
No, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you. That's just the way it is, man. Sorry. Anyway, I told you I'm not jolly. So why push me? So, but if you have any experiences that you want to share, just get a hold of us at the From the Shadows podcast page on Facebook or our forum page, After the Shadows. You can find me on Instagram, Shane Grove Author, or we have our Instagram page, From the Shadows Podcast, or come to our website, fromtheshadowspodcast.com. There's a connect button there, or contact, or, you know, holler at us button, whatever it is. We'll get it. Jason will get that, right? You get the stuff on the website.
Absolutely.
Right? All right. So yeah, reach out to us. Let us know if you got a story you want to share, because we'd love to hear it. Everybody loves to hear great eyewitness stories, because I think those are the best. So we have a real treat today. Right, Jason?
Yes,
right?
We do.
I mean, you don't feel threatened by the
producer. Let's get it out there.
Well, I'm saying you don't feel threatened by the super producer status of our guest.
I am excited.
You're excited. Okay. So joining us is super producer in her own right, Heather Mosier from the Small Town Monsters gang, among a whole bunch of other stuff. I'll let her get into that. So, Heather, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Heather. We're glad to have you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We are definitely glad. And so for all the people that don't know what the whole Small Town Monsters and some of that stuff is, do you want to give them a quick education on that?
Sure. So I'll start off with the way that I kind of introduce us for witnesses that I contact, and that is that we are a small independent film company out of Wadsworth, Ohio, that makes documentaries based on local cryptids, monsters, and areas. The influence that they have on the town and the people that have had the sightings. And then we dive into some history and folklore as well while we're making those films too.
Now, you humbly say small, but I think that's kind of shortchanging it a little bit. I think just about everybody in the paranormal and cryptid world knows who Seth Breedlove is and the Small Town Monsters thing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
that would be sweet.
But I mean, you guys aren't some like
small
little
group, though.
Okay. You're a small group of people doing big things, doing big things.
We're trying. I mean, you may or may not have seen firsthand roughly the size of a crew.
Yes, and since I am under a non-disclosure agreement, which I think was just a handshake from Seth. You may or may not see a couple members of this podcast engaged in some activities that were caught on film with a certain small film company from Wadsworth, Ohio. But I don't know because I was sworn to secrecy.
Careful, Dr. Grover. This is a family show. We don't want to hear about your drinking binges.
Well, I make sure, even though I've never had a drink, I would definitely make sure that my first time was not caught on film. Even though the judge would probably most definitely make sure it was caught on film. holy smokes. But yes, indeed, we did get to see firsthand you guys in action. And, I know we can't say a whole lot about the project, but it was a lot of fun. And we're definitely looking forward to seeing what else you guys did and seeing the finished product for sure. So, it was a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys included this in it. And I hope that it doesn't just ruin the whole thing and end you guys' careers, because you're all really nice people.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the well wishes. We were pretty thrilled with the way things turned out by the end of the weekend, early week, the days that we were out anyway. We were pretty tickled with the material we got, so.
All right, I love to hear it. So tell all our listeners, all 9 3/4 of them. Maybe the other guy will open his eye up, and we can have 10. tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this. Like, this line of work that I have to be honest, Jason and I and the judge, if he were, would be like our dream job. I mean, this would be the top of the list for us.
Yeah, it is my dream job. It absolutely is. But I'm an adjunct professor, actually, for classical studies. And then, so I work part-time there and then part-time with STM. But I got involved with this after, I was aware of Minerva Monster back in 2015 when Seth made that. And then by the time he got around to Mothman of Point Pleasant, that really struck a chord with me because of the amount of research, historical research specifically, that he put into it. So I had found him on Facebook and I sent him a message and said, I really appreciate what you're doing with the research. And we just started talking at that point. And then I just later on said, if you need a researcher, let me know. Because I was finishing up my master's degree at that point in time. And once I graduated, I really missed research in general. And so I had started looking into cursed objects, which brought me around to the Bellwitch Cave. And it was at one of their premieres. I cannot remember which one, at Canton Palace Theater, where they had announced that they were going to be doing something with the Bellwitch. And so then I sent him a message. By that point, we were friends. And I said, if you need, like, seriously, I know I said this before, but for real, I have stuff on the Bellwitch. Like, I've been looking into her for a while now. Please let me in. And he was like, yeah, okay, well, when we get to it, we've got a few other projects, but a few before that, but definitely when we get to Bellwitch, I'll give you a call. But he actually called me for Momo, and which was two before Bellwitch, Momo and then Mothman Legacy. And so I got brought on for Momo in 2019, and then my role has increased with each project. More responsibilities get thrown my way, and it's amazing. I'm loving every minute of it.
Listen, I'm not even sugarcoating it when I say I'm jealous. I mean, I mean, it just, because I've watched quite a few of the documentaries that you guys put out. I mean, Seth does send them, has sent the last couple to me to screen and so we can talk about them and stuff on air and on social media. And they're so just expertly done, I should say. I mean, it's not like, he's not really trying to convince anybody one way or another. Which I like. Right. It's just like, here's the facts as we see it. And he'll even, and it's so, as him as the narrator, even will say, look, I didn't believe this, or I had, you know, I mean, he kind of puts it out there what, he, you know, and maybe how he has been, his mind has been changed. And I think that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I've that's something that I've appreciated as well, is that there hasn't been a slant one way or the other. But the, I don't know, the biggest thing for me is preserving the stories of these people so that they don't get lost in time. And then just seeing how it affects people, and also letting people know that they're not alone, because that's happened way too often that we've, because one of the first things that we do with a project after we come up with the ideas, I'll start reaching out to witnesses. And there have been countless ones that I've talked to that talk about how quiet they were after having an experience, because they either knew that they were going to get mocked, or they had told someone and were teased mercilessly. And so then they just kind of closed in on themselves and then lived in this, I guess, fear or shame for a really long time until they get older. But then once they open up about it, that opens the door for other people who've had similar experiences to come forward and not have to live in the same shadow, I guess. And I think that that's a great thing.
You know, Heather,
I love that.
Yeah, we get a lot of that.
I love that segue. I love that segue for you to mention in the chat, you know, the shadows.
That's yeah.
We get a lot of that. And that's what we pride our platform on being. Is to have a place where people, they can come out and be able to say what actually happened and not have to worry about being ridiculed, and have people that have had experiences themselves to be able to partake and create some discussion about it, because that's the only way we're going to find out the truth, is to actually share our experiences.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely. Absolutely.
Now, Heather, how do you find some of these witnesses if they've been afraid to talk about it?
So, well, some of them have maybe they said something one time. There was, Dark Sky. So on the Trail of UFOs, Dark Sky, one of my favorite witnesses for that, his name is Kenneth, and he shared his story decades ago, like once. And it ended up in a book, which was West Virginia UFOs, I think is what it's called, by Bob Teets. And in it, there's like a drawing that he made a diagram of what he saw. But that was it. Like, that's the only record of it. And I found it in that book. And then I tracked him down and called him. And I'm like, are you the Kenneth from this book? And he was like, yeah, he had never even seen the book.
Did he not know he was like, in the book? Did he not know he was in the book?
I think he knew that he was in it. He just never got a copy of it when it came out in like the '90s or something. And, so I sent him a copy anyway, 'cause I'm like, well, it's not really fair that you're in it and don't have it. But, anyway, he had only shared it in that particular book. And so, beyond that, he's not on Facebook or anything, but he had been quiet about it up until I called him. And then he thought about it, because again, another thing that happens when you call somebody is that they're familiar with a lot of these television productions that kind of make fun of people. And so they're hesitant to talk to me to begin with. And so luckily, because of what we've done, I can direct them toward YouTube or whatever to show them, here's actually how we approach things. I understand that I could be pulling your leg for all you know, but let the work speak for itself. And that's what had to happen with Ken. He saw that, and then he called me back the next day and said, okay, I'm in. But yeah, and sometimes it's just happenstance. You talk to people and they're like, well, I knew someone once who said whatever, let me call them and see if they're willing to talk. Or for night visitors, which isn't out yet, but when that comes out, there's a witness in there that had only spoken with his wife about an experience that he had. And I only found him because I happened to contact his ex-mother-in-law, who I had contacted her for, well, yeah, it was fine. But I ended up contacting her because of her line of work, because I thought maybe she knew someone who had had an experience. And so I just said, have you had anybody that's had, you know, X, Y, and Z type experiences? And she said, no. And then she's like, well, actually, now that I think about it, my ex-son-in-law did have something, but I'm not supposed to know about it. Like, my daughter wasn't supposed to tell me. She's like, let me message him and see. And he was willing then to talk. But it was a story that wasn't, she wasn't even supposed to know about. It was just happenstance that I contacted her and she knew about it. So I don't know. Sometimes it's luck. And then of course there are people that share stuff on Facebook. There are people that email us. And then it, then also you find other people who've had experiences and they have opened up about theirs and other people have come to them. And it's just like a network that you create.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing how many people, like you said, just sit on a, you know, they don't want to say anything and it takes so long for them to feel comfortable to tell that story. And I mean, I can't imagine, I can imagine sitting on something, for 40 years. Like we know some guests that, you know, sat on stuff for 40 years and it's like, and to think that nobody will believe you, even though there's people with you and they discount what you're saying. It's just amazing to me. It really is. Because I think it does. What it does to people mentally, you know, and that sort of experience, you got to think about it every day. I mean, there's no way you don't, you know, and how does that affect you? I think what you guys are doing and what we're trying to do and what a lot of other people are trying to do with giving people a forum to talk about their stuff or just get it off their chest is, I mean, it's great. It's great. Not to mention people love to hear this stuff. The people that haven't experienced it. Okay.
That's true.
They love to hear it. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. All right. I mean, all Jason says is, oh, we're going out squatching. We're going to go do this. We're going to go find the Bell Witch. We're going to do whatever. And it's like, come on, man. I don't want to be on another show telling about my experience.
Well, don't worry. We'll talk about it on our show first, and then we'll go around and we'll share it with everybody else.
Yeah. See? And it's nice that they have, like, people have a place where they can explain what happened to them without any type of judgment. But also what I've heard from witnesses that haven't widely shared their stories, or even ones that have, when they explain why they initially shared it, it was for a lot of times a cathartic reason, so that they could just get it out of their system and heal from it, especially if it was a traumatic experience. It's healing to share those experiences with others. So
definitely. So I got to believe, that you're not just that you just aren't a book nerd and you just don't like to do research, right? I mean, you have to have a love for the paranormal side of it in and of itself. So is there a reason why you like that? I mean, are you an experiencer yourself?
Yeah. So, I grew up with an interest in it from watching like Robert Stack on Unsolved Mysteries, hearing stories.
Jason, you could tell who's really young because they reference Robert Stack, and we always reference Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, it's
you
true.
Know?
Yeah.
That's very true.
She's way younger than us.
I'm the baby. So, like, I grew up with that, and then hearing stories from my mom about the old farmhouse that she grew up in that was supposedly haunted, and getting a Ouija board when she was younger, And so then mom got me a Ouija board when I was in elementary school. So I was just, I mean, I was raised around that stuff. Oh, yeah. So I was, I mean, I was raised around that. And I kind of, I know, as far as ghosts and things, I never really doubted it. But I mean, I have had experiences now that I'm older. I've gone out on investigations in the last few years and had experiences there. We have something going on our property right now. It's just weird. I mean, I've had experiences when it comes to things like that. Nothing, I don't know, nothing that's like absolutely terrified me, but it makes me more curious each time something occurs.
So what was the, besides you asking for a Barbie and getting a Ouija board for Christmas, what was the first thing, what was the first thing that happened to you that you were like, okay, there is something else going on? Like,
well, there, yeah. So aside from the Ouija board, which was its own, I mean, thing as far as just being amazed that it moved and all of that. But, there were things that were happening in the house when I was young, and it was like some of the first things that I remember is, I always could tell when mom and dad would get up in the middle of the night and walk out to the kitchen to get a glass of water. Mom's footsteps sounded one way and dad sounded another. And it would just wake me up because they had to walk past my room anyway. And I remember hearing this happen more than once. I'd hear footsteps walk from the back of the house out toward the kitchen. And I would always stay awake just to hear them come back to bed. And then I'd fall back asleep. But I'd hear the footsteps go out to the kitchen and then they would not come back. And I'd get up and I'd look and mom and dad are both asleep. And I was the only kid. I mean, I have a brother and sister, but they're much older than I am. And so I was basically an only kid and nobody else is in the house. So stuff like that would happen. Things would get, would disappear. And then, I mean, ridiculous things like the pot holder would disappear. And the mom and dad would ask me what I did with it as if I was doing something with a pot holder. And I'd swear I didn't do anything because I didn't. And a couple days later, it would reappear. It would be like right in plain sight, whether it was on the stove or the counter or whatever. And nobody had put it there. But the biggest thing was the one day that my parents were gone. It was a weekend. They were shopping and I was home alone with the animals. We had like at that time we had three dogs and a couple cats. And I was sitting in the living room watching TV. All the animals are out there because that's where I was. And I noticed they all stopped and looked behind me. They just froze. And so I looked behind me and I saw somebody standing in the entryway between the living room and the dining room, just like leaning against the entryway. And it was very calming. It was so calming. Like the person didn't look familiar at all, but I saw them and for some reason I felt like, oh, that's just dad, even though it looked nothing like my dad. That's just how calm I was when I saw him. And I turned back and then I was like, wait, that doesn't look like dad. Like when it all registered, that's not my dad. Nobody's home. And I looked back and then it was gone. And then the animals were back doing their thing. But like I actually saw something. And so I told my parents about that when they got home. And I don't know, they've seen stuff even since I've moved out. And both my mom and my dad. So I don't know what's going on there, but I mean,
have they seen that man?
Dad has seen, I don't know if he's seen the man. He sees things like out of the corner of his eye, like walk past, or the one time he said he saw something that was like smoke is how he described it going across the living room. Like, I think he said it was just a couple feet off the floor and it was just like a wispy smoke just went across the living room. I don't know. I've not seen anything like that, but he's seen that. My mom was woken up one morning, which she thought was my dad because somebody like grabbed her foot and was shaking her foot and then started to pull the blanket off that she had on her lap to try to wake her up because she fell asleep in her chair. And she said she half woke up and said, I'm not, you know, I don't want to wake up yet or whatever. And started to pull her blanket back or something. And then it kept it up. and she opened her eyes and there was nothing there. So I don't know. Nothing bad has happened. Like all of that kind of stuff just doesn't, I don't know. I think that's fun. That's cool stuff. Nobody's getting injured or anything.
Well, that's up for argument. I mean, somebody grabbing your foot and shaking it is, I don't know.
Might be psychologically disturbing, but
I know.
Yeah, but I mean, Mom thought it was Dad at first. When she realized it wasn't him, then she was like, well, maybe I was just dreaming. But I should tell Heather. See, those are the kind of phone calls I love to get is, hey, something weird happened. I'm like, ooh, tell me. And I'll write it down. And the date and everything else.
Heather, there's a ghost in the house. It wasn't your dad. I don't know what to think.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, all I can think of when you said that is, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, is old man Costanza calling on Jerry's answer machine and said, Steinbrenner called. George is dead. Give me a call. And Jason's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never heard of Jerry Seinfeld. But anyway. So
I've never heard of him before. I work nights. I never watched the series when it was at the height of its popularity.
It is still at the height of its popularity, and don't you forget that.
Listen to it. Anyway. You don't want to let go of it.
Anyway. So the figure of the man, I keep going back to this. Was that pretty solid, or could you see through it?
I thought it was like from what I recall, it seemed pretty solid because there was nothing about it that alarmed me. And I feel like if I'd have been able to see through it, it would have registered faster to me that, hey, that's not Dad. That's not human. I don't know. What I recall, it was solid. So
now, as a super researcher, have you tried to do research on that house and see if there's something that may explain what's going on?
No, not on that house. Because
Jason, I take back everything I said about her.
Yeah, the only
Seth,
thing that
Seth,
I
Seth,
did,
if you listen, Seth, you might want to start looking for.
Yeah, start looking for someone else. I never looked on that house because that house isn't super old, so I'd have to look at the. I mean, I've looked at the land in that area, but not because of that house, but because of like old house foundations that are in the woods that I was curious about. But what I did look into was that we'd asked the Ouija board who it was that I saw, and it said that it was. Someone from the Wyandot tribe. And I'm like, all right, I don't know anything about the Wyandot tribe being in this area, really. So I had looked, like, I think we even asked it for a date or whatever. And I had looked up online, like, when they were in the area, like, moving through, and it had aligned that way. But I can't remember the date anymore, and that was a long time ago.
Like where you were Sunday is Wyandot area. That's where the Wyandots hung out.
Oh well, hey,
That's kind of where we were at was kind of along close to the path where they chased down Colonel Crawford and then ended up torturing him on the other side of Upper Sandusky.
Interesting. Yeah, I never really looked into it too much other than to see because where I grew up, it was within walking distance if I wanted to, of something called the Algonquin Mill Festival.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mean, there's Native American lore in that area, but people don't really talk about Wyandot there. But apparently there was. I mean, the Great Trail is nearby here. So there were different tribes that were around. It's just for some reason Wyandot wasn't one that most people talk about in this area. So when that came up, I was like, well, that's weird. But if I'm remembering correctly, there was a movement of some sort and it aligned with whatever date it was that the board gave me at the time. but I can't recall any
specifics
on that now.
So you trust the Ouija board?
No. No,
I don't. I mean, we've had so many guests on, especially like psychic mediums. They're just like, do not mess around with a Ouija board.
Well, I mean, I'm not afraid of it, I guess is what I should say. I don't trust what it says all the time because why would I? But I'm not afraid of a board. I collect them, actually. I've got, right now I only have a dozen, but, you know, I'm working on it.
I only have a dozen.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, that's a very tiny collection, but.
It is. Some people.
I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah, some people collect them. That is true.
Yeah. I'm friends with some of them on Instagram, and I am very envious of their, they've got like the old wooden ones.
Yeah, the ones that were handmade and hand painted and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they said that, those ones are the more powerful spirit boards because you put that energy into it when you create it yourself. I mean, it's fascinating, actually.
Jason, don't give her any ideas.
No. So I'm going to make my own board is what I'm hearing. I need to just make my own. Well, they say that with everything when it comes to like runes and things.
Yeah.
If you were to get your own wood or stones and carve the runes into them, then they're more powerful, supposedly.
Right.
Because you did put your energy into them and intention and stuff. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yep.
And I think maybe if you cut your hand and do a blood sacrifice.
You bleed on it a little bit. Yeah.
Do a blood sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. Blood magic is very powerful there, Grover.
Your essence. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's totally. No, for Mother's Day a couple years ago, I ordered, because the story with my mom's Ouija board was that her parents had got it for, I think, my aunt for Christmas one year. And my aunt, even then, was extremely religious, and she was highly offended, I guess, that this board was purchased for her. And so they only got to play it a few times before my aunt had it burned. And so then mom was always upset about it because she thought it was fun. So then she got me mine whenever I was younger. But anyway, she never had one of her own after that. So for Mother's Day a few years ago, it was right before the pandemic started, I ordered her a hand-carved one, which ended up taking months to get here because the pandemic shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the hand-carved Ouija board was the epicenter of the pandemic.
You know,
that's what started.
Hell, perhaps.
It's funny.
Perhaps
it's funny
it
you mentioned.
Like
that,
I feel. Like
there's
I
people
feel
that
like
said that it was predicted on a Ouija board. What do you think of that?
You know what? I feel like this is the worst gift giving guide right before Christmas podcast episode we could ever do. Like,
I know what I'm buying. You now.
Okay. Jeez. Holy smokes! Like Mother's Day, like Ouija board. That's a whole thing. What do you want to get your mother for? Forget a dozen roses or a fancy dinner. Get her her own Ouija board.
I'll help with that commercial.
Oh, God. She can. She might not be able to get you on the phone, but she can conjure up her own spirit 365 days a year.
She won't need a phone. Hey, you have to be a producer to understand, okay?
Oh boy.
You're not in the elite club, so you better just stick with being a host. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome back to the From the Chat. We're here with the Wicked Witch of the East.
Warlock of the North.
Man, I think we should get off the subject of Ouija boards. I feel like the room is starting to spin. So you've got, you're married with kids. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do they feel about the Ouija boards, and how do your parents, I mean, obviously your mom is totally into you being in this line of work. How's your dad? Mm-hmm. Because any parent should want their kids to love their job and enjoy what they're doing. But Do they worry about like some of this stuff or not?
Not really. I mean, their biggest concern is whenever we travel, just that we're, you know, traveling is safe. And mom's just always like, you're never alone, are you? I mean, just like practical concerns as far as that goes. But as far as being worried about spirits or anything, the only time mom said anything to me was because my aunt, the same one that had the board burned, I guess had expressed concerns over the weird stuff that Heather's into. And told her she was concerned about me or whatever. And so then mom relayed that and I just kind of chuckled and I'm like, okay,
well, has she been introduced to Seth? I mean, that would totally like calm her.
Mom or my aunt?
Your aunt.
That totally calm her down. Sure. No, she's not.
She'd be like, oh my God, save Heather.
But no, they're fine with it. And I mean, as far as like the cryptid stuff, they find that all fascinating too. I think mom's more fascinated by ghosts than cryptids and dad is really into Bigfoot. So they're pretty tickled by all of it.
So let's get into the cryptid side, because I mean, I think it's, I don't know what's easier to really accept, that there's spirits and ghosts and stuff, or that there's some cryptids out running around. Like how do you feel about this as you've kind of, cause obviously you've dealt with spirits and ghosts and
yeah,
totally accepting of that.
Yeah. So this is funny. When Alexander Petikoff was here filming for, Beyond the Trail a few months back, we had this discussion. He's like, I don't have a problem if I were to run into Bigfoot, but I don't want to mess with spirits. And I'm like, see, I'm the other way. I would not have an issue with spirits. Bring those on. I don't want to see Bigfoot, I don't think. Only because, I mean, maybe Bigfoot wouldn't be so bad. I don't know. I feel like that would just ruin my life. Not that I don't go out looking for them and stuff with Seth, but to see one, if it were close, I just don't know how that doesn't shake you to your core to see something like that. Even if you thought, and I do think that there's something out there and that all of this is plausible, but to then see it is a whole other ball game. And that's the same thing with spirits too, as far as that goes. You can believe in it, but then when you see something, it's still different. But
absolutely.
I don't know. Some of these, the judge's story, nope. I don't ever want to have any encounter with a dog man. No way.
No. And I don't want to spoil what I think is probably the best line of the whole project. But it was, you know, Seth asking me, what I thought. And I think, look, if I'm with you, give me something paranormal, spiritual. Okay. Mm-hmm. I do not want to run into a biological creature that can just, let alone, it wouldn't even have the chance. I would pass out from fear beforehand.
Yeah.
Because Jason and I have been out in the woods just the same as you have, looking for stuff that we probably shouldn't have been out looking for. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, stuff starts to happen and you start questioning, what am I doing out here? You know, who can I put between me and this thing so that I have a chance to get out of the, I'm sorry, Jason, I did think that.
Yeah.
But I think Jason,
faster than your friend. That's all.
But I think Jason, we both were thinking it would be Jerry, right? I think we both agreed it would be Jerry.
Remember, Jerry said he was going to tackle it. He wasn't thinking about running.
Yeah.
So
good for
him.
Yeah. Good for him. Yeah. So maybe you guys need to get Jerry on the team out there when you're out there doing this Bigfoot thing. Because you guys would be safe, because Jerry's running. He's like a fireman running into the fire while everybody else is leaving. He's going after. Oh gosh. So Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about this Bigfoot project that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so it's being filmed. This is the first season. I don't know how subsequent seasons will go, but these episodes are being filmed in the Minerva area, so not far from where the Minerva Monster was and has been sighted since the 70s. And a pretty, I guess you could say, remote location. There's just been activity going on pretty consistently since, well, I don't know. I mean, since I've become aware of it since August. And thinking about the spirit thing, the reason that I even became aware of stuff happening was that I had a friend in from out of state, and we were wanting to do some paranormal investigating. And so we had headed into the woods because I thought, how spooky would it be to check out some of these woods in this area? And stuff started happening almost immediately, which, like, noises we had taken, which you would see in the Bigfoot Project, like a John Deere gator up to get to this area. And I, when we got out of the gator and we were headed into the woods, there was this huge smack off the side of the gator. It was loud enough that it sounded like something took the tailgate and just slammed it as hard as it could against the gator, just slammed it shut. Now, I am in investigation mode as far as, like, paranormal investigation mode. And so I'm like, ooh, a noise. Okay, big deal. Like, let's, you know, let's see something kind of thing. Like, noises happen all the time. Not that that wasn't loud, obviously, but I was still in this ghost hunting mode. However, my friend got very uncomfortable. She didn't tell me till later that she actually saw something. She was afraid to say something because she thought that I would have teased her, which she probably would have, because I would have taken it as, you're just scared of the woods, not, hey, you saw something fur covered here. But anyway, she insisted we leave the woods, and so we did, and we got out into this open field. She's like, well, we can do the investigation out here. I don't feel like we're welcome in the woods. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Well, once we're out there on the field, I'm like, this doesn't feel like a ghost hunt anymore. Why don't we, you know, we're not far from the Minerva Monster. Let's just play a howl. And so we played the Ohio Howl and almost immediately got a response back. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe this is a little different. And I mean, I was excited. I didn't want to see anything, but it was shortly after that, because we'd played again, you'd get the return house. There were branches that were snapping. Like, it sounded like a huge branch or a small tree or something was broken in half right at the edge of the woods. And then we heard a really loud snort, which I've heard before, just one time when I startled a doe that had her fawns with her. So I still don't know if what that was. It could have been a deer nearby, but it sounded like it was very close. I didn't see a deer. We did have flashlights. I didn't see anything, actually, but I heard that. And when that happened, it sounded aggressive, and I'm like, okay, now I'm done. So we got in the gator and we went back home. And then by the time we got back home, I was back to being excited again. And I'm like, I need to have a Bluetooth speaker so I can amplify the Ohio Howl.
Oh, gosh.
Let's go back and see what happens. And so my friend would not go, but my husband went with me and another friend that was there. But the one that came from out of state, she said, no, and this is also because she saw something, I found out later. She's like,
She still didn't tell me.
She didn't tell me until she got back to Oregon. When she got back home, then she was like, oh, by the way.
Listen, I don't want to point out the obvious, but that's not much of a friend. That sounds like the judge move from back in the day. Like, you know, like, what? Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just please tell me you didn't take the Bluetooth speaker out and set it on a Ouija board on the back of the Gator
I didn't set it on a Ouija board, but we did take the Bluetooth speaker back and got Hal's, and we slowly got closer and closer to the woods that we had been in. And we'd go further and we'd stop and turn the Gator off and play the howl, and we'd get different noises back and stuff. And then eventually we get close to the woods. We're within a few yards of it. And there's a discussion of, okay, are we going in the woods? And we finally, after much, you know, him hauling around, we were like, okay, we'll go in. And we started the Gator up and started to go forward. And as soon as we inched forward, there was this massive crack that happened, which was enough that my husband and the friend that were in the front, so two men, were like, okay, we're done here. And they just turned the Gator around. I'm like, wait, what? not that I really wanted to be yanked out of the back of the Gator by something, but it was enough to make them uneasy. And so we left. But yeah, when my friend got back to Oregon, she's like, so there's something I wanted to tell you. I didn't want you making fun of me that night, but when we got there and you were setting up all the the equipment for the ghost hunting, she said, I was taking the flashlight around and she was just looking around the trees. And she said, I saw something like peeking around the tree trunk, one of the tree trunks. And she said, I saw an arm and a hand, like it was wrapped, like one side was wrapped around the tree, and a head that was peeking out. And she said, it was really high off the ground and it was hair covered. And I'm like, oh, well, why didn't you tell me? She's like, I thought you'd make fun of me. I'm like, well, I mean, I wouldn't have made fun of you had you told me you saw a Bigfoot. But if you had just said, I'm scared of the woods, I probably would have taunted you. Sure.
Well, then we're going to take the opportunity right now to make fun of her and just label her as worst friend ever. Oh. And I'm just, it's just for purposes of the podcast, because I think she deserves some ribbing. You need to check her phone when you see her again and see if she has you labeled as bait or sucker in there under contacts.
If she comes back for a visit, I would like to think that if she thought it was like super dangerous, she would have said, hey, don't go. But also she may have recognized that I was going back regardless. So,
well,
I don't know.
I mean, look, when you see that, okay, as what she described, that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Like that's right. Not, like, you're not supposed to look, see, like, an ape, monkey-looking thing covered in hair with its hand. I mean, that's just not supposed to exist.
Right.
In the woods in Minerva.
Right, Minerva. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So then I'm assuming you told Seth about this.
I told Seth about it. And he was like, wait, what? I want to come see. Like, I want to come out and check out the property. And so he did. And he had been on the property before, because it's where we filmed, if you've seen Skinwalker, Howl of the Rougarou, there are scenes in there in the woods that were shot here. Actually, the one part of woods, we call it the Rougarou Woods. That's how we reference it, because that's where we shot the recreations. So he was already kind of familiar with it, but he hadn't been out for anything other than filming those recreations. So he came out and stayed at there's a cabin in the back, and stuff happened almost immediately. And so he was like, okay, this is it. Like, he already had an idea for something similar to what the Bigfoot Project has become, but hadn't had a location or anything in mind. And so when this had started, he's like, okay, this is it. This is where I'm starting this. And so he's been out ever since then, and he had a sighting of his own. I unfortunately was not with him at the time. I was back watching the children at the house. But when he came back, he was all wide-eyed and excited about this hair-covered creature he saw running across this pipeline, which has since now been covered in like the National Enquirer and stuff.
That's funny is, you know, cause we had him on the show. It's been at least a year ago, and it seemed like, and that was the first time I'd ever really talked to him, that he really didn't, like, he was just more of a filmmaker, and this was an interesting subject, and none of this stuff was anything that he had experienced himself to the point where he was a true believer. Like, maybe he thought it was a possibility. And and I thought it was funny on the other day, and he just matter-of-factly, you know, was like, yeah, I had a sighting. And I'm thinking, dude, we're walking into the woods right now. I'm going to want to hear what your sighting is.
Yeah, his sighting was in the middle of the day, too. It was broad daylight.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we're going into the woods, Shane. By the way, I just saw Bigfoot. Like, okay. Is Heather up there with her Ouija board?
You didn't even know then.
Oh, gosh. Gosh, my parents are going to be so mad if they listen to this episode. But yeah, it was just like, so, and I'm just like, I was kind of like stunned when he said it, like, this isn't the, you know, and I'm like, well, okay. And I didn't really question him on it, but I'm, you know, I'm glad that he experienced something then on his own. I mean, so he definitely now is a believer.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I don't know how he couldn't be at this point. Something is going on in the woods. We've had stuff thrown at us. We've heard them around us when we were out there at night. There's actually, and this doesn't get brought up because we didn't catch it until later, but the first episode of the Bigfoot Project, which is on YouTube now, there is a clip in there that when we were watching it after it was all done, we projected it up on the big screen that we have in the office just to make sure that everything, you know, was edited okay. There's eye shine that shows up, and we didn't see it. We didn't see it at the time. We didn't see it at the editing. We saw it after together, where Seth is standing in the woods. I'm the one with the camera, and he's pointing. At one point, he says something about, you know, there's noises over here and there's noises over there, because about time you'd face one way, then they would start behind you. So we were figuring there were more than one. But as he's pointing, you can see a pair of eyes go up like it was hunkered down behind him and stand up and then move past him, beyond him, which we didn't hear it moving. Like, we didn't hear it at that point. But during that night, part of the reason we were there is because we were hearing them running around. And at one point, right where that was, because we know exactly where it was, that was one place where we were like, it sounds like they're just like 2 or 3 feet away from us. But it was summer and the brush was very thick. So even with the night vision, the leaves would just flash back at you. I mean, it was, you couldn't see through the thickness of the leaves, really. You can see this eye shine. It doesn't get pointed out in the show because we already had finished it by the time, but we paused it and went back and rewatched it. And he and I were both flipping out about having it on there, but it's not denoted anywhere because the episode was already done by that point.
So how does that feel? Okay. Knowing that, especially when you see that and know that it's just a couple feet away from you, that something that big, is that quiet, that stealth? Does it, I mean, does it seem unnatural? I mean, all of it seems unnatural, but how unnatural does it seem in the moment? Like, unsettling and...
when we saw that, we were flipping out. I mean, it gives you chills a little bit, but, like, there are coyotes all over out here, and we've seen them and not heard them. So the animals that are used to being here are very adept at not making noise when they're going through the woods, even when the leaves are down. And that was something that's in, like, if they are making noise, it's like they want you to know they're there, which is kind of that night that it's, that most of that night is on the first episode of Bigfoot Project. But it was like they were messing with us. They would make it so that you could hear them. And you could hear that they were close. And every once in a while, like the one time they threw something. After they were messing with us enough, then one threw something as, like a rock, and it hit the ground next to us, and we could feel it hit the ground. And that's when I got worried at that point, only because, like, because once it did that, Seth was like, well, that didn't feel, you know, that didn't feel quite as welcoming or whatever. It didn't feel so much like play. And then I was like, okay, so when does aggression, like, you know more about Bigfoot than I do. You've been out Bigfooting all over the country. You tell me, should I be concerned? And he was like, I don't know. And he started.
And that's when he said, I don't even believe in Bigfoot. I mean, I'm just.
That's what he should have. He should have been like, I don't believe you at all.
I don't even believe in this.
This stuff, when stuff starts happening in this location, it's usually not just a little bit. It's a lot that's happening at once, to the point where now if there's like a tree knock, Seth sometimes will be like, all right, let's have a little bit more. Like, we know you got more. Like, he's like, tree knocks are nothing now. It's like when you're out investigating for paranormal stuff and you've seen shadow figures. After a while, shadow figures aren't that big of a deal because you've already seen them and there's nothing to be concerned about. But there'll be times where Seth's out at the cabin. He's like, all right, guys, let's go. So I don't know.
Did you just say there's no big deal about shadow figures?
I did say there's no big deal about shadow figures.
Oh my goodness.
I did.
You know, you got Ouija boards. No big deal, but Seth is like, is that all you got? Come on, guys, let's go. I mean, I'm really glad you did this episode, Jason, after we were with these guys. Let's hope there's
it's
no
not
like
fun to go. I don't want to go in the woods by myself. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, I don't want to, and that's for multiple reasons. I don't want to run into whatever those are, but also I know there are coyotes and they travel in packs and I don't want to be caught in that. But yeah, shadow figures, the only time that a shadow figure had kind of, and it didn't unnerve me, but it unnerved my friend Courtney, was we were at Fairfield County Infirmary in Lancaster, Ohio. And my friend, the one that from Oregon that had her experience here in the woods, she was with us. This was a whole different time. She saw
Jason Voorhees. She saw Jason Voorhees and didn't bother to tell you.
and then she just
Freddy Krueger.
She and I went downstairs. The group was like on the first floor, and then she and I snuck downstairs while they were doing whatever they were doing because we were wound up. The night had just begun, and we were just giddy to be there. So we snuck off and went downstairs. I looked around down there, and then when we came back up the stairs, Courtney saw me at the top of the stairs and just starts yelling at me because she's like, what are you doing? Why are you messing with me? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you, what were you doing walking down the hallway? Why'd you go into that room? And why didn't you answer me? And she's pointing to an area that I wasn't even at. So what had happened was after my friend and I went downstairs, she saw my silhouette walk down the hallway and into a room, and she thought it was me. She said the silhouette, which she's known me since practically birth. We've known each other since we were born, pretty much. She's like, I know
and
your
yet,
silhouette.
And
I
yet
know
she's
how you
still
walk.
Willing to sacrifice you.
No, this was the other friend that Courtney's the one that knows that's known me so long. Okay. She's like, I saw you walking. I know your silhouette. And she's like, you had your backpack. Because that night I had my equipment in my backpack and was carrying it around on my back. She's like, it was you. I saw your hair. I saw your backpack. You walked down the hallway and you walked in that room. And I yelled, hey, what are you doing? And you just kept walking. And she's like, so I went down the hallway and I went in the room and you weren't there. And she thought, I mean, she was convinced that I was messing with her, and I was not. I wasn't even on that floor. But I think that that's probably, I would say also any shadow figure that doesn't take the form of a person, okay, that's unnerving.
So that one was mimicking you to try to get her
Yeah. And it got her away from the group, because she left the group to come because she thought it was me. So she left the group, and then when she didn't see it was me, she started yelling at me yelling for me because she thought that I was like, I don't know, hiding around the corner or getting ready to scare her or something. And then the group came over and she told them what she saw, and they got the equipment out, and stuff was spiking around that doorway. But it got her away from the group. But I don't know. That was the only one that we've seen that mimicked one of us as far as that goes. But we've also seen shadow figures that don't look human in shape, and those ones are unnerving. That's true. Okay, so those ones are kind of a big deal. But in general, in general, a human-shaped shadow figure, I'm not as worried about.
We're talking like about shadow figures, like we're comparing fries between Wendy's and McDonald's and Burger King.
Yeah.
You know, you got some nerve. I'm going to tell you that. But back to the Bigfoot thing. So, so this is areas close to where the Minerva Monster then.
Yeah.
So since the Minerva Monster, there has been a continual series of sightings and reports then.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it hasn't been as popular as far as, like, I don't think there's been as many reported sightings that have caught the attention quite like the Minerva Monster sighting did. But even the family would tell you that they've had continual activity at that property anyway. So that's never really stopped. And likewise, this whole area has had sightings. I mean, since even I was little, I remember hearing people talk about seeing Bigfoot in the area. The only time that I'd noticed a drop in, like, just local gossip and chatter about seeing things was whenever we had a gas and oil boom in the area, and there were a lot of wells that were being dug. And when that was happening, there wasn't as much activity occurring. But once the wells were dug and then the crews kind of moved out, stuff started back up again. But while that was happening, there weren't really people reporting seeing things like that. So,
That's interesting that they just kind of took off and didn't kind of fight for their territory.
Well, yeah, but that would be kind of stupid of them, I think. If they started fighting and, like, killing people,
I don't mean fighting, like, trying to scare people off. I don't mean, like...
you don't mean going and just ripping people in half?
No. I don't mean that. I don't mean that.
Well,
no, but I mean...
Fight, I figure you meant, like, fight.
No, I guess I need to choose my words carefully when speaking. But you know, like, kind of like throwing rocks, like you guys get the rocks thrown at you. And, but I've heard stories of people, you know, in the Pacific Northwest that are on logging crews, and every morning they would come back and a piece of equipment would be torn up, or, you know, the oil drums or gas drums and stuff would be destroyed, and, you know, something like that, you know, like, hey, get out of here. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there might have been stuff like that might have been happening. I know I just wouldn't have heard about it. When stuff started, a lot of the people that came in to do the wells, and I mean, it's not 100% everybody that was involved, but a lot of the crew that came in and started a lot of this were not from the area. So they weren't like locals. I mean, there were people from down around the Gulf that had come up, I mean, and stayed for a while everything got up and running. And so I don't know how much chatter I would have heard because it wasn't locals that were in that area. So I don't know. I'm sure there were locals that worked there, but by and large, it seemed like it was mostly outsiders that were here for that.
That's interesting for sure. Yeah. Cause yeah, maybe they didn't think twice. Maybe stuff did happen. They just didn't think twice about it because
yeah.
So,
or they just wouldn't have told us.
Well, because they didn't want the job to get shut down. You know, yeah. You also got to think of that. Like, if we start saying there are these, you know, we just want to get to do the job and get paid, you know, and mm-hmm. then get back. So this might be a totally unfair question, but all for right. our listeners out there who have not had the pleasure of watching one of the documentaries that Seth and you guys have done, mm-hmm. what's your favorite that you would recommend if you could only just watch one?
Well, I would say
not taking into account that it's one that you personally worked on. If you didn't,
shoot, I was going to say that actually, I really do. And I know it's very hard for me to pull my bias away from this because I worked so closely on it, but the Skinwalker Howl of the Rougarou is one of my favorites, that we've made, but Bell Witch is also a good one. The Mark of the Bell Witch. And that one's, it's a lot different than,
I mean,
we try to do something different with each one, but it kind of stands out a good deal. That and Momo's its own thing too. But I would say Skinwalker Howl of the Rougarou or the Bell Witch or the Beast of Bray Road is another one that I really like. I've always been a fan of that one. That was before I was on the crew, so that, you know, there's no bias there. On that.
That's also like 5 or 6. I mean, come on.
So, for real.
Okay, so if people want to watch those, I think they're all available on Amazon, right? Most of them?
Yeah, they're on Amazon and Vimeo and whatever other platforms there are. I don't know. They're on a lot of the on demand or not on demand, but the purchase ones. I'm really bad at that part. Amazon's usually what I use. So they're on Amazon and I know they're on Vimeo. And you can order the hard copies, like the actual DVDs or Blu-rays from our website. And then we got a ton of stuff on YouTube. So there's the Bigfoot Project.
Well, where do people find it? I mean, is there one place to go and just find that, or is there different channels?
For YouTube?
Yeah, for YouTube.
Yeah, it's just the Small Town Monsters YouTube channel. Everything is there. So you can find the Bigfoot Project there, or Alexander Petikoff and Eli Watson have Beyond the Trail, which is all Bigfoot. And they've traveled all around the country and gone to different locations. Those episodes are all on there for free. There's some Hauntings episodes that have come on there for free. You can watch me interview people on my new show called The Lore You Know on there for free if you wanted to, you know, take some time to do that. you know, just saying. Or listen. You can listen to it on your mail route. Just throwing that out there.
Jason.
It's on podcast.
Jason, what do you think she's hinting at? I mean... Okay, you twisted my arm. Jason will definitely listen to it while I'm on the mail.
There you go.
I mean, it sounds like you could dive into the Small Town Monsters universe and get lost, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
There is a lot of stuff, and even with... even with YouTube, I mean, there's tons of free content, but then people can also become a channel member. We call them squad members. And there's even more stuff, behind the scenes things and episodes that aren't, you know, that are extended, I guess, and aren't released to free YouTube, and then early access to things. We've got all that going too. There's always more is what I'm trying to say.
I'm betting, Jason, there will be a how-to video to make your own Ouija board. Out of
That's a really good idea.
It is a good idea.
I like where your head's at here.
Yep. I know. And imagine if you got the wood from a haunted house that was torn down.
Oh,
look, I'm not saying that's what you should do, but you know, I'm an idea guy.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing it out there. So I got one last question before we let you go.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not want to answer this, but
okay.
Is there one subject that you're trying to convince Seth that you guys need to do a show on because you really are passionate about it and love it?
I'm huge into folklore and we're kind of doing that with Lore, you know. I would like someday to take another crack at the paranormal in maybe a different way. Than what we did with hauntings. I don't know what that would be yet, like how we would approach that, but I'm always down for more paranormal stuff.
I have no doubt about that.
As far as like cryptids go and stuff, I don't know. Seth's pretty open about stuff. We all throw out our ideas and talk it through and kind of do what we can when we can. So I'm not feeling like he's been ignoring any of my ideas.
Okay. That's fair enough. I think we can accept that answer. Right, Jason? I was putting her on the spot a little bit, this was also like, we're talking like she's not listening, but this was also her chance. This is also her chance to really like campaign for one of her ideas and have 9 or 10 of our listeners echo that back on social media and say, oh, wow, we really want to see that story. And then the pressure that Seth would feel to have to like do that.
It would be overwhelming. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But, well, Heather, it has been, I'm going to say, and Jason, I know we talk about this a lot. The best part about doing the podcast is getting to meet super cool people. Okay.
Yep.
And I know we probably wouldn't have got to meet you this soon if it hadn't been for the project that we worked on. But I'm glad that you and I got introduced to each other because I think we have a fun time going back and forth a little bit. I don't want to say demented, but just kind of like twisted sense of humor. I've really enjoyed you coming on. I enjoyed doing some work with you. I enjoyed listening to your, like, I didn't know what kind of stories we were going to get, but that's some pretty good Bigfoot stuff right there. I think our listeners are going to be happy that they, that we had you on, and I hope that everybody goes and checks out everything that you guys, that you guys have done. And maybe next summerish, there'll be a really great project coming out that, we can promote again that may go to the top of the list.
We've announced some of the stuff that's coming next year, and our Kickstarter is on February 3rd to help us fund all of these projects that are coming in 2022. We can name the projects that are coming, and people could make their own conclusions.
Let's go through a list of what's coming up.
We have UFO, or On the Trail of UFOs, Night Visitors.
Nope.
On the Trail of Bigfoot, The Last Frontier.
Never heard of it.
We have the Jersey Devil movie. I think it's going to call it Bloodlines, The Curse of the Jersey Devil. And there's something called American Werewolves.
Ooh, now that sounds interesting. American Werewolves. that sounds a little more highbrow, I have to say, than the Jersey Devil. it sounds like something that somebody could really sink their teeth into, no pun intended.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think so. We've started on that project, and I think it's going really well. So.
Well, I think I speak for everybody that I think everybody's very excited about all those projects. Awesome. And in fact, I will be prodding you for some eyewitnesses that I can talk to about the Jersey Devil, because I love to have, we've never had anybody on about the Jersey Devil. And that's a subject that truly, like, I don't know how much we can talk about. Have you guys started on that yet?
We started. No, not really. We are really in the early stages of that. Seth gave me a deadline for the next few weeks of things that I have to get in order. Jersey Devil is on that list. So hopefully I will have an idea and some things that I could share with you by the end of the year.
Hey, listen, we should be talking so much more about the American Werewolf, but when I hear like the Jersey Devil stuff and I hear like the Pine Barrens and those mm-hmm. being described, it sounds like to me in my simple mind that, you know, you're talking about medieval Germany, like in the dark forests and stuff.
Right.
Like when you're describing the Pine Barrens. And to me, that sounds like I don't want to say magical, but like a supernatural place just in and of itself, because it doesn't seem like it should exist in modern day America. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, the creature itself doesn't seem like it should exist either. The way it's described is insane. It's so wild.
I'm telling you right now, my theory is that the Jersey Devil and the Mothman are one and the same.
I don't know. I mean, we can entertain that.
Started a debate.
Yeah.
Look, you heard it. You heard it here first. One in the same. Like, it may not be the same one, but I think it's the same. I think we're talking about the same creature. I do.
Interesting.
I'm throwing it out there, I won't even direct you to my theory about the Mothman just being a pet of an extraterrestrial that got loose on a restroom break in the United States. That's what I think some of these cryptids are. They were pets of extraterrestrials that got loose while they stopped for a roadside rest, you know, like in West Virginia. Of course, West Virginia will stop here and let Fido out for to go to the bathroom, and then next thing you know, there's the Mothman running around. So
right. I mean, amen.
Of course, I may be crazy. I don't know. But it's fun to to consider, you know, like what is this stuff? I mean, the Jersey Devil. I mean, that's been around for, when did that happen? In the 1800s, right? Like early.
Yeah, I feel like that one was in. See, this is early stuff. 1700s, 1800s, something like that.
Yeah.
Early stages of research. Catch me in a month or so, and I'll be able to tell you a ton of stuff about it. But I can hardly wait.
I am, and I can. I think I can direct you maybe to some people that have had some sightings that I've heard secondhand. Okay. Well, Heather, we'll let you go. You know, but we appreciate you joining us. This has been fun. Some great stuff. And I can't wait to see the next projects coming. And hopefully everybody go check out all your stuff. And I mean, because if nothing else, get a cool, like, Small Town Monsters t-shirt or coffee mug or something. Right.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Those have to exist, right? Tell me they exist.
I don't know about the coffee mug. I haven't checked the web store in a while, but the shirts are definitely there.
All right. I mean, that's like one of the coolest names ever. So, God, that would be such a great name for a podcast. Dang you, Seth Breedlove. Dang you. Anyway, thanks again, Heather. And, you know, we'll be in touch. We'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.